and pass in review from the last time just a little bit. I said to you the last time that all options for failure, I'm talking backwards tonight, are gone. And the reason why options for failures are gone is because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And there is no failure in Him. So, the Holy Spirit is with us at the same time that He's with the Father and Jesus in heaven. That's just how it is. So we have to get it in our heads. That's where we have the hang up at. If we'll be honest with ourselves, it's in our minds, it's in our heads, that the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. He never, ever, ever, ever leaves us. And just because you don't have goosebumps and feel like you're walking around in this holy atmosphere all the time does not mean that the Holy Spirit is not with you, because He is. That means nothing. Yeah, it's nice to have those feelings. Hey, I love them too. But when you get down to it, that isn't the Holy Spirit. No matter what, we have to get it in ourselves. He is with us 24/7. And that we are going to have to practice the things of God. It's not wrong to practice the things of God. It's not sacrilegious to practice the things of God. Just like in the natural world, it takes practice on things. When you're born, you learn how to roll over, you learn how to sit up, you learn how to start to crawl, then you get up and you start to walk, and then you start to run and start riding a bike, okay? You practice these things as a child, and if you've watched your children and watch your grandchildren, if they're trying to pull themselves up on something and they don't make it and they let go and they plop down, they don't just sit there, do they? No, they will try it again, and they'll keep doing it and keep doing it until they finally succeed. And when they do, it's like they get this grin on their face, and it's like, ah, I've done it. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. Praying in other tongues, confessing the Word, meditating on the Word, rolling it over and over and over and over on the inside of you, throwing in a little bit of fasting. All these things we must practice. We must learn how to wait upon Him. Going into that prayer closet, going into that private time with just you and Him one-on-one. It's good to have those times where you're continually praying in the Spirit under your breath, which we should be training and learning how to do that all the time. It's good to have that music going in the background that you like, the worship or the Christian music or whatever, you know, that you just have something going all the time. All that is good. But what's even better, and what the Holy Spirit wants, is when you pull away. You pull away and you decide to go into that place with Him, where it's just you and Him and nobody else. Where He can teach you. Where He can guide you. Where He can bring revelation to you. The Holy Spirit is monitoring, continually monitoring our hearts all the time for a trust level. We have to learn to trust Him. He's learning to trust us to see what He can trust us with. Just the same way in relationships in the natural world, we have to learn to trust one another. We learn who we can trust and who we can't trust. Okay, it's the same thing with the things of the Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. He wants to trust every single one of us, but there is a time of learning where you build that trust, where you are learning that when He tells you something about God and He brings you the heart and mind of God, that He's bringing you truth. And so you're learning how to trust Him that it's really true. Like with healing, you know, it says, by His stripes I'm healed. Okay? Well, do you really believe that? Do you trust that that is truth? okay. What you need to do is you take the word and you start confessing it over your life concerning healing in your body, healing in your mind, healing wherever you need it. Maybe it's your emotions, you know. And so you're learning how to trust that that word is true, that the Holy Spirit has brought you the word is truth. Okay? It's the same way with Him. If He's looking to see how much truth He can bring to us, and when He brings it to us and then brings us an assignment, are we going to be obedient to obey and to listen and obey and do what He says? See, these are little minute increments that, you know, it's just layer upon layer upon layer where you're learning to trust Him and He's learning how to trust you. It's a relationship being built, continually being built, building up your confidence, trust and confidence. The Lord, after I had done a study about King David and his relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to me one morning and started talking to me, and He said, you know, just like you were teaching the people about David and his relationship with me, He said, I want you to more and more build up your trust and confidence in me also. So there is a time of us building trust and confidence in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus, that what He is saying to you is really the mind of Christ for your life, and that you can believe it and you can trust Him. He doesn't ask us to do anything if He does not see the trust level in our heart is there. He doesn't want us getting into sin by being disobedient to Him. So, let's say He asks you to do something because He sees the trust level there, but you don't do it. Okay? You know, it could stall you out for 5 years. It could stall you out for 6 months. It could stall you out up to 5 years. You could put yourself into condemnation over it. And see, the Holy Spirit is not about condemnation. He doesn't want you in condemnation. He wants you to learn to be obedient. But if He asks you to do, if He sees there's not an abundance of trust in your heart for a certain thing to do, He's not going to tell you to do it because He doesn't want to get you into condemnation. Why should He put you in a spot of condemnation and stall you out for up to who knows how long and Him not be able to use you? That's not God. That's not God at all. He wants us to be able to use us on a continually, daily basis. And so, you know, yes, the enemy will bring condemnation our way, you know, because we are going to miss it. We are going to slip up at times. But then you just ask forgiveness and you go on and not let the enemy keep beating you up with it. So Jesus was the same way with His disciples. Back in John 12, chapter 12, He came to them and He told them, He said, you know, there are things that I want to tell you, but I just can't tell you right now. And it's because that trust level, that understanding, that maturity in them just wasn't there to where they could understand what He really wanted to share with them about the things that were going to be coming. I mean, they were having a hard time when He was sharing with them about that He was going to have to leave and that the Holy Spirit was going to be coming in His place and being with them. They were having a hard enough time trying to wrap their minds around that without Him, you know, putting some other stuff on them that He really, really wanted to share. But, you know, the trust just wasn't there. So when He sees that increase in us, He will tell us more things. And then it's up to us. Will we be obedient to do what He asks us? When He asks us to do something, it's because He sees we're ready on the inside to be obedient, so we can keep going up a step and up a step and up a step and building our relationship and building our confidence in Him. And if we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to have to renew our minds. That means transformation. Transformation means it comes from the inside out. Nothing ever works too well from the outside in. You know, you can, what was it in Gone with the Wind when Mammy and said about Scarlet and Red that you're just you're nothing but mules and fancy horses, harnesses or something like that, you know, you can get all dressed up, but unless you change on the inside, you're just, you know, you're still the same, and it's just not going to make any difference. So transformation. Transformation, and transformation comes by the word, by confession, by praying in tongues. Comes from a change on the inside, a change of heart, a change of attitude, and then it comes to the outside. Now, I have some confession sheets here that I have that I'm going to pass out, and we're going to go over them and confess them, because if any of you are like me, for a long time, I had a hard time realizing, I guess it was probably because, you know, a lot of us will relate to the Heavenly Father, relate to Jesus, will relate to the Holy Spirit along the same lines as your earthly relationships, especially with your parents. And if you didn't have a super close or a real good relationship with your parents, you tend to relate to God that way. I don't know if anybody's noticed that before, but I have. It's like if you were afraid of your parents, you know, it's like then you're kind of cowering and you're kind of afraid, like, oh, God's going to, you know, you see these flashes of what happened when you were a child. And that's how you see God relating to you, and it's not the truth. And so I had to start making confessions over myself concerning the Holy Spirit and concerning Jesus, that he really loved me. He truly loved me. And that the Holy Spirit was my friend and my counselor. And because of that, transformation is taking place on the inside of me. And I know if I have had difficulties there, I know others have. And I'm not saying, you can give one to Linda too, but, you know, if it's not pertaining to you, hey, doesn't matter. But if it does, that's good. There you go. Just want you to repeat it. Oh. I'm sorry, Carrie. Okay. God loves me. Repeat after me. God loves me.
God loves me.
That was hard for me. There was one time I was repeating these confessions on my way into work, and I remember I turned the corner up at Keys, and as I turned the corner going into work, the Lord says, I've been confessing that for I don't know how many months. And he says, you know, deep down in your heart, you still really don't believe that I love you. And boy, it took my breath away. I'm like, you know, I was saying the words, and I was, you know, wanting transformation to take place, but still deep down inside me, I was having a hard time believing God really loved me for me. I know nobody else ever has that problem or feels that way, you know. God is eager to communicate with me. God is eager to communicate with me. My Father wants to take me by the hand and lead me as his child.
My Father wants to take me by the hand and lead me as his child.
He will guide me safely through every dark and forbidding way.
There is no reason to fear.
There is no lack of safety for me.
The Holy Spirit is my friend and my counselor.
That means God is my friend and my counselor. The God of the universe is your friend. He loves you. He's your counselor. He's got wisdom for you that you don't even realize is there for you. He teaches me revelation knowledge.
He teaches me revelation knowledge.
And he teaches me about my calling.
And he teaches me about my calling. I trust God completely. Now that's one to really dwell on. Do you really trust God completely? I trust God completely. And I trust His counsel completely.
Even if the whole world disagrees.
My mind is now learning things from another world.
It is called the realm of the Spirit.
I am always welcome in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the Lamb's Room of Fellowship. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But yes, I am welcome, and you're welcome in His room of fellowship, that spot that's one-on-one, just you and Him. As I seek His face on a regular basis, He shows me things to come.
He shows me what to do ahead of time.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
We can know what to do ahead of time.
Hallelujah.
For those who will seek, truly seek His face, He's there for them. He is there for each one of us. What has been is not what shall be.
For great days are ahead.
And the best is yet to come. Yes, what has been my life as I knew it in the past? Bad, good, down in the dumps, feeling unworthy, you know, that feeling like God could never ever use me. All that's in the past. It's all in the past. All of it's in the past. What has been is over with. It's dead and it's gone. It shall never return. The path is ahead of me. Great days are ahead for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. So when we're spending time in our prayer closets with the Lord, we've got to quit going in there with preconceived notions. That means we put away and put aside our plans, our dreams, what we think ought to be done. We set everything to one side and we not try to force God into fitting into our plans. Have you ever sat down and, okay, Lord, I think we need to do it like this, 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 and this. About to do something? We all have. Come on. I know I have. You know, and I have a lot. And some of it not realizing I was trying, you know, I had these preconceived ideas in my head or already, you know, preformed plans, and I wanted God to bless it and fit it into, you know, say, yeah, we can do that. That's a great idea you have. You know, we'll just lay mine aside and we'll go ahead with yours, you know. You know, but what about going into that prayer closet, just you and Him, and you lay everything aside, you put aside all your plans, all your dreams, and you just sit there and you pray in other tongues. And you just pray in other tongues, and you pray in other tongues, laying your heart out before Him. That's what you do also when you're praying in tongues. You're laying out your heart before Him. You know, you might worship Him a little bit, you know, praying in tongues, and then you just feel like worshiping Him and just love on Him. Just love on Him because you love Him. And then pray in tongues some more. And then just, you know, get real quiet and maybe just sit there. Just sit there in His presence and just listen. You know, just breathe in. I call it like His essence. There are just times it's like I just take a deep breath and it's just like you can just feel His essence. You know, because of that atmosphere that you're creating, just you and Him together, that fellowship. You're creating that fellowship, that one-on-one with Him. And you give Him a chance to start talking to you about what He wants. And as we learn to do this more and more, you know, training ourselves and learning to wait upon Him and doing this more and more, seeking His perfect will, you know what? It's going to be a delight to our hearts. Our hearts are going to be get so full. It's going to be a delight to our hearts and a joy in our spirits because of the living God being on the inside of us. And we're building a relationship with the living God. You see, the Lord wants to impregnate us with His dreams and His visions. We're not here to get the Lord to agree to our dreams and visions, but we're here as helpmates to the Lord for Him to accomplish His dreams and visions using us. So often, you know, we approach the Lord with our plans, our dreams, our ministry, and it's like, Lord, I need help with my ministry. It's not your ministry, and it is not my ministry. It's His. It's His. And that's what we have to keep straight. It's His ministry. What is it that He wants to do? What kind of changes does He want to make? Does He want to keep going this way? Or do we need to make, He wants to make an adjustment and say, okay, let's click this over a click or two, and let's go this back this direction here. We're off center a little bit. What is it that He's wanting to do? Now, once the Lord fills you with His dreams and His visions, and you've got that right before you, and you know what you're supposed to be doing, don't let the devil cause you to abort the dream. Don't let the devil cause you to abandon the vision. He'll send all kinds of hell your direction. He will send everything you can ever imagine to try to get you to stop. Every kind of circumstance that you can think of, every well-meaning friend, every relative will come against you trying to cause you to abort, to abandon, and to give up, saying, you missed it. You just totally missed it. He doesn't want you to become mature. He doesn't want you to finish your race in the kingdom. So yes, He will try everything He can to keep you neutralized. That's the name of the game for Him, neutralization. If He can keep us neutralized and stuck in the muck, not going anywhere, He's won. He's won. You see, the Lord knows what we have need of in this life. He knows that we have to work. He knows that we need cars, dependable cars. He knows we need a good house. He knows we need clothes. He knows we need food. He knows we have all these things. But in Matthew 6:32-33, the Father, you know, He lets us know He knows that we have need of all these things. But He said, if you will seek My kingdom first, meaning if you will seek a relationship with Me, putting Me first in your life, seeking My face, listening for My voice, then everything you could possibly need or ever want, I have for you. And I will show you how to get it, and I will show you ahead of time how to stop the enemy from coming in and stealing from you. If you will just put Me in the kingdom first. If we will learn to turn to the Holy Spirit as our counselor and truly seek His face and seek His wisdom as if He were really real and learn to lean on the strength of the Father, then we will learn how to rise above the circumstances in our life. We'll learn how to rise above those realms of attack. Like I said, He'll show us things to come. He'll show us how to handle it. He'll show us what to say, and He'll show us what to do. the Lord has wisdom and ideas and knowledge straight from the throne room for each and every one of us. He has things that He wants to share with us that none of us have even given a thought to yet. You know, He has ways that He wants to share with us that possibly someone in here could be an entrepreneur for the gospel. That means where He gives you an idea like that and you make millions for the kingdom of God. But then along with that comes the responsibility of being dead enough to your flesh that when you make the millions, you don't heap it on yourselves, but you do plant it into the gospel. You have to be dead to your flesh. You have to be dead to your emotions. This may be a newsflash for some, but there's a lot of deceivers out there in the body of Christ. A lot of deceivers. There's a lot of people who will take the word and lay just enough untruth or arsenic with it that it sounds really good. Really good. But it's just to heap things up upon themselves. Basically to fleece the sheep. Is that the term that I want to use? Fleece the sheep. There's a lot of them out there who want to fleece the sheep and who have and are doing and are fleecing the sheep. And it's wrong. There are some that will rig the spectacular with gold dust, with jewels, with feathers, angels' feathers. They'll do all kinds of stuff to pull in the naive and the gullible, people who are not mature, just to suck them in and get what they want from them and then throw them to one side. There's, yes, in the body of Christ, there are a lot of people like that. But the Father is looking for people who will truly come to Him and who will sit with Him. He's not going to bless that junk that's going on out there. Anything that is not truth, that is not the Word, He's not going to bless it. He's not going to associate with it. He's not going to bless it. He's not going to touch it in any way, shape, or form. He can't, because He will only bless His word. He's bound by His word also. He is bound by His word. So He wants us to come and to seek Him and to sit and to get counsel from the Spirit. And for those that will come and sit and spend time with Him and really spend time with Him and really, really press in, to those He will give instructions. To those He will bring instructions, and He will set your path, your feet on the path in the way that you should go. Now, you may be walking this path and you're doing pretty good, you know, and you're feeling pretty good, and it's like, okay, I've been praying in the Spirit and I've been, you know, listening for His voice and I've been confessing the word over my life, you know, and you can tell that you've noticed there's been some transformation on the inside of you. Little things, you know, adjustments you can feel on the inside of you that the Holy Spirit is making. And, you know, you're walking this path and you're thinking, ah, you know, this is pretty good now, pretty good. And you're finishing up this assignment. And you come to this place in the path and it's like, okay, there's a fork in the road here. It's like, all right. Now, okay, which way do I go? But you realize one path is more your own than it is the Lord's. Okay, now, whose path do you think the Holy Spirit's going to tell you to walk when you come to that spot and you've made the determination, you know, that, okay, there's a good idea and here's a God idea. Okay, when you've come to that spot, which path is the Holy Spirit going to tell you to take? He's going to tell you to take God's path and to continue on that direction. He's leading you. The Holy Spirit is leading us down the Lord's path and the Lord's path only. He's going to bless God's path, not our path. You know, we might decide to follow ours for a while. And on some stuff, He can bless to a certain extent because there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. What we're heading for is the perfect. We're not there. But, you know, continually we're trying to listen to Him more and more and more to stay on that path that leads us to the perfect will of God for our lives. Now, if at any point you're going down this path and you take ownership of this path, you can continue down that path on your own accord because He is not going to go with you, because He's not going to follow a path that you're making by your own will. He's just not going to do that. But when you realize that you've made the wrong turn or you've been doing this on your own and things aren't, you know, so hot, you're just going to have to turn around, march all the way back to that spot wherever it was, repent, and pick back up and head down the path where, you know, you missed it, where I missed it. And we're going to have those little things happen. We're human. We're all going to have them. We're learning how to do this. We're learning how to listen to Him and walk with Him. Now, the thing is if we're not careful, these detours could cost a person a month, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years. Some people get detoured for the rest of their life and now don't even realize it, and they get sucked off and are miles and miles away from where God had them, wanted them to be in the center of His will for their life. But you know what? If you're praying in tongues, and praying in tongues on a regular basis, and learning to listen to Him, and meditating the Word, as soon as you do that, the Holy Spirit is taking you and turning you and bringing you and guiding you, bringing you back, bringing you back, bringing you back, bringing you back to the center of His will for your life. So it's tongues. It's praying in tongues, that revelation gift that keeps you centered, that keeps you, if you miss it, if you quit praying, that's usually when you get off the path and you start making wrong turns, is when you quit praying in tongues. And if you catch yourself doing that, I've been there more times than I can count, but when you find yourself doing that and have done that, the enemy's slick. He'll guide you off and he'll take you down that path for a long time and you haven't even realized you've quit praying. And one day you wake up and you think, oh my gosh, I haven't prayed in tongues for a month. You know? And it's like, start praying again. He brings you right back around. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Brings you right back full of love, full of grace, full of mercy. Praise God for mercy. That mercy. He brings us right back around that love and starts bringing us right back onto that path. Brings us right back on and says, okay, now keep praying and you're back on the path here. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I don't want to be out there and get so off track that I can't get back. Now, we're all going to have our little detours. Like I said, things happen, you know. But I want to give you a little example here. I'm not perfect. I haven't been perfect. It took me years to even get to this point. But we moved to Tahlequah back in April of 2000. And to me, Tahlequah was a nice place to visit. Gorgeous area. I just didn't want to live here. But I had no choice. If I wanted to stay with my husband, I had to live here. Moved to this town, found a job, you know, here. And I was like, how much an hour? And I have 15 years experience. You know, I'm thinking to myself, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, nobody can live on this kind of money down here, you know. In Tulsa, I was getting paid X amount of dollars for the same thing I'm doing down here for this amount of dollars. You know, and I was just like, oh my Lord Jesus. And then the mentality of the area was totally different. I'd been in Tulsa for 20-some years, you know, and then to come to Cherokee County, you know, and the mentality, I'm serious, is different than Tulsa. You know, every part in the state, every county in the state has their own attitudes, has their own way of doing things, you know, and I'd been in Tulsa for a long time, so coming to Cherokee County for full time, yeah, it was hard. It was hard on me. So I'd be in my prayer closet, you know, and this was a few years down the road after we'd been here a while, and I felt like I was in the wilderness. I felt like things were just so dried up. I thought, God, what are we doing here? And I'd pray, and I'd pray and pray. Oh, God, speak to Charlie's heart. I know he's closed his mind off to you because he doesn't want to go back to Tulsa. Send someone his way to minister to him and tell him you're supposed to go back to Tulsa. Melt his heart, God, you know, because I wanted to go back to Tulsa. I did not want to stay here. And I'd even tell him, I said, I love you, Charlie, but, you know, if something ever happens to you, I'm out of here. I'm selling everything, and I'm heading back to Tulsa. I am not staying here. And this went on for years. This went on for years. You know, me and God, you know, going through this. Oh, Lord, you know. And the heavens were shut up like brass. Quiet, didn't hear anything out of him. Didn't hear any kind of direction from him. Nothing. It was, the silence was deafening, in other words. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, all right. Why don't we just start praying here for a while and trying to listen? And I liked our church back in Tulsa, you know, and I missed, you know, I didn't miss everybody, but, you know, there were a couple people. There were a couple people I liked over there, and I enjoyed fellowshipping with, you know. And I appreciate, you know, everything that Pastor Dave implanted into us, you know, imparted to us, you know, while we were there and everything that we learned. But then when we started going back to, we were trying to go drive back and forth to Tulsa for services and stuff. But then I noticed it was starting to get kind of prickly. The nest was getting prickly when you'd go back. Things just weren't quite right. And all I can say was things felt a little prickly in the nest, you know? And it's like, okay, all right, maybe we aren't supposed to be here so much like I thought we were supposed to be here, you know? And you just kind of, you learn. you learn. And so this kept going on and on and on. It finally got to the point of where it's like, you know, I really don't even enjoy coming back over here anymore. And this is the church I loved, you know? But see, God was doing a number in my heart. And just like the mama eagle makes the nest a bit rough to get the little eaglets out there, to get them, you know, to getting out of the nest, getting on her wings so she can, you know, fly with them and stuff and get them out there, the Lord was basically cutting the apron strings where I was concerned with, you know, the prayer center. Even though we're still preaching the message and everything else, it was just time for me, time for us. Even though it took me a long time to realize that, for us to be going. I mean, we'd had word given to us for years and years about, you know, there was going to be coming a time where we were going to be no longer under the shadow, you know, but we would be out on our own, so to say, taking the message, taking what we've learned and going out and sharing it with other people. And so, you know, that's just a little something about me going in with preconceived ideas for 11 years and saying, okay, God, you got to get through to Charlie. Somehow I know he's just not hearing you. He's not open to you, Lord, you know. And I'm being exaggerating here and stuff like that. But, you know, that's where my heart was. I didn't want to be in Tahlequah. I had no desire to be in Tahlequah. I didn't like Tahlequah. I mean, it's a nice place to visit. I just didn't want to live here. But it's all changed now. And this turnaround, I'll tell you, it has only happened over the last year, year and a half, the turnaround of heart, where I finally surrendered and going, okay, Lord, what is it you have for us here? Okay, where do you want us? What do you want us to be doing? I didn't feel like we were supposed to start a church, and neither one of us did. But it's like, okay, what is it exactly you want us to be doing? And so it came to a point of just praying in tongues. Just praying and praying and praying. And sometimes that's all you can do is pray and you don't do anything. You pray and you listen and you pray and you listen and you pray and listen until you get the instructions. And don't make a move until you hear. So, anyway, as you can see, I'm human too. I have my issues and problems, you know, I'm dealing with also, you know, walking the path, you know, trying to walk things out. So, we need to get rid of these preconceived ideas that we have no matter what area of our life. If there's any area at all in your life where the silence is deafening when you pray, maybe, just maybe, you need to sit and wait on God and pray in tongues and wait on God. We all might learn something. We might, you know, it just might change our life, radically change our life to do that. Now, the Holy Spirit is able to get through to each one of us where we can understand it. He's not going to talk a foreign language to us. He's going to talk to us in a language that we can understand, right down on, like, I'll be kind of funny here, like a hillbilly, or, because of your daddy and how you were raised. His daddy said miters and taters and pewters and nothing was a full word. I mean, he was straight out of the hills now. So I don't care if you're straight out of the hills or if you're an elite college professor, you know, trained in the best, you know, he knows how to come to you and talk to you on your level where you are and let you know exactly what you're supposed to do. There is a way on purpose that each of us can go into God ourselves. On purpose, God will literally take us by the hand if we will let Him. He will take us by the hand and He will lead us. Failure becomes almost impossible if we will allow that to happen in our lives. That's why I had to start telling myself these things, because see, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe God really loved me. I didn't believe that He would communicate with me, that He was eager to communicate with me. I didn't believe that He could be my counselor or teach me revelation knowledge. I was so intimidated at times. Charlie let you know how I was when I met Him. I was so intimidated. I felt so unworthy. I didn't feel like He could ever, ever, ever use me in anything. Those words that you get, prophetic words that you get from people that you trust, that you know are from the Spirit of God, if you go down through those, you'll be amazed at the things you can get to confess over your life out of those words. That's God's heart speaking to you, His plan for your life. And if you'll go down through those and write out a confession, you'll be amazed at what you start confessing over yourself and how God sees you, how God sees you. Now, you might be following this path the Lord has for you, but in the natural, things aren't going the way that they should. Okay? You're having a hard time. And the hard time has been going on for a while, and it's going through your head, did I miss it? You ever been there? You know you're walking the way you're supposed to, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but nothing is going right. Did I miss it? Did I miss it? So let's take a look at the story of Joseph. Okay, now Joseph, didn't he have two dreams showing his brothers and his father all bowing down before him? Okay, he did. And these dreams were God-inspired dreams. Did these happen in the next 6 months? Did it happen the next year? Did it happen in 5 years? No. In fact, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. What a low blow. And he worked for the Egyptians for years, ended up being betrayed and thrown into prison, and was in prison for at least 2 years, if not 3 years, I think. And in the dungeon, just wasn't in prison, he was in the dungeon. Okay? 13 years from the time he was sold into slavery to the time that he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. 13 years go by there where Joseph was not the favored son of a very wealthy man, but he was a slave. He was a slave. But for 13 years, these dreams did not look like they were going to come to pass. Well, they still hadn't come to pass. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He was made governor or prime minister of all of Egypt. But then it was actually 22 years altogether from the time he was sold into slavery to the time his brothers and his father bowed before him. 22 years had passed. Now, had he missed it? Did he miss it? How many, you know, for 22 years making, you know, your stand, being faithful? And, I mean, this man, Joseph, had to learn an entirely different language. This Joseph actually became per se an Egyptian. When his brothers and father saw him, they didn't recognize him because he looked like an Egyptian. He was made up like one of the pharaohs. You know, he had to totally, his identity basically on the outside and how he looked was totally changed. He learned to move with God through all these stages. Now, God used everything for good, even though the devil meant it for bad to get rid of him. God made it for good. But 22 years, how many of us have been reading and standing on those words that have been given to us? Standing on the promises of that dream or that vision that God has placed on the inside of you. How many years has it been in the devil screaming in your ears, "You've missed it! You've missed it! You've missed it!" How many years? Think back to Joseph. Think back to Joseph. He didn't miss it. God was still God. It came to pass. It was true. And it's the same way for in our life. When we know something he has told us is true, you stand on it, come hell or high water, kitchen sink being thrown at you, I don't care what it is, I don't care if your relatives are screaming at you, you missed it, I don't care if your finances are screaming at you, you've missed it, I don't care if your health is screaming at you, you've missed it, I don't care if your emotions are screaming at you, you've missed it, you stand true and you stand firm on what God has told you and what he has told you to do. It is not your job to bring it to pass. It's your job to make the stand and to stand, therefore. It's your job to stand. It's God's job to bring it to pass. Remember, in him, there is no time. 1,000 years is as a day. A day is as 1,000 years. There is no time in God. So you stand firm. Whatever he's told you, you stand firm. Now there's two parts while you're walking this path. The first part is learning to hear his voice. The second part is obedience. It takes both to walk the path to maturity. It takes hearing His voice, and then it takes being obedient. Now, the two most common reasons for failure and disaster in the body of Christ is, one, people don't seek God's counsel. They go to man, they try to think of something themselves, but they don't go to God. It's like when something happens, it's like the first thing we should be thinking is, Holy Spirit, what should I be doing? Holy Spirit, show me what to do. What should I say? What? That's the first thing that we should be doing. Seeking His counsel. Seek it directly. Seek it as if God was real. He is real. But I mean, seek it like if He was a real person standing next to you. Seek His counsel. And then, if you can't, you know, hear Him or anything like that, the next thing I would say is grab your Bible, find a chair, glue your seat to the chair, and sit there and pray. And sit there and read the Word until you do hear His voice. Then number two is, when people do hear God's voice, they delay past the time to where their help would have come. When He shows you what to do, you need to be obedient and do it according to His timetable. Because our enemy is not stationary. If God shows us that we need to take care of something or to do something or be obedient about something, and we wait 5 years to be obedient, the enemy hasn't been sitting around waiting for us to make the next move. He's been moving all along, and He's been doing things to keep you neutralized, to make you want to give up, to make you want to quit. But I want to encourage you, those who will seek His voice, those who will be obedient to Him, it's to those people that God is going to show things to come. He's going to show you what to do ahead of time. He's going to show you the plans of the enemy and how to stop him. Now, the key word in all of this is endurance. Endurance is the key word, and endurance means the capacity to withstand stress, to persevere. And to persevere means to persist in a purpose despite the obstacles. So that means when the enemy is throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink, and when the stress gets turned up so high you don't think you're going to make it, you keep standing. Endurance. Endurance. Endurance is what it takes for any person who is in a race. And we're in a race. We're in a race for the high calling of Christ. And we're going to make it. We are going to make it. So we want to be hearers of His voice as well as doers of His voice. We want to finish our course right on time and right on schedule. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.